there.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم إني أسألك برحمتك التي وسعت كل شيء وبقوتك التي قهرت بها كل شيء وخضع لها كل شيء وذل لها كل شيء وبجبروتك التي غلبت بها كل شيء وبعزتك التي لا يقوم لها شيء وبعظمتك التي ملأت كل شيء وبسلطانك الذي على كل شيء وبوجهك الباقي بعد فناء كل شيء وبأسمائك التي ملأت أركان كل شيء وبعلمك الذي أحاط بكل شيء وبنور وجهك الذي أضاء له كل شيء يا نور يا قدوس يا أول الأولين ويا آخر الآخرين اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تهتك العصام اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تنزل النقام اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تغير النعام اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تحبس الدعاء اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تقطع الرجاء اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تنزل البلاء اللهم اغفر لي كل ذنب أذنبته وكل خطيئة أخطأتها اللهم إني أتقرب إليك بذكرك وأستشفع بك إلى نفسك وأسألك بجودك أن تدنيني من قربك وأن توزعني شكرك وأن تلهمني ذكرك اللهم إني أسألك سؤال خاضع متذلل خاشع أن تسامحني وترحمني وتجعلني بقسمك راضيا قانعا وفي جميع الأحوال متواضعا اللهم وأسألك سؤال من اشتدت فاقته وأنزل بك عند الشدائد حاجة وعظم فيما عندك رغبته اللهم عظم سلطانك وعلى مكانك وخفي مكرك وظهر أمرك وغلب قهرك وجرت قدرتك ولا يمكن الفرار من حكومتك اللهم لا أجد لذنوبي غافرا ولا لقبائحي ساترا ولا لشيء من عملي القبيح بالحسن مبدلا غيرك لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك وبحمدك ظلمت نفسي وتجرأت بجهلي وسكنت إلى قديم ذكرك لي ومنك علي اللهم مولاي كم من قبيح سترت وكم من فادح من البلاء أقلت وكم من عثار وقيت وكم من مكروه دفعت وكم من ثناء جميل لست أهلا له نشرت اللهم عظم بلائي وأفرط بي سوء حالي وقصرت بي أعمالي وقعدت بي أغلالي وحبسني عن نفعي بعد أملي وخدعتني الدنيا بغرورها ونفسي بجنايتها ومطالي يا سيدي فأسألك بعزتك ألا يحجب عنك دعائي سوء عملي وفعالي ولا تقدحني بخفي ما اطلعت عليه من سري ولا تعاجلني بالعقوبة على ما عملته في خلواتي من سوء فعلي وإساءتي ودوام تفريطي وجهالتي وكثرة شهواتي وغفلتي وكن اللهم بعزتك لي في كل الأحوال رؤوفا وعلي في جميع الأمور عطوفا إلهي وربي من لي غيرك أسأله كشف ضري والنظر في أمري إلهي ومولاي أجريت علي حكما اتبعت فيه هوى نفسي ولم أحترس فيه من تزيين عدوي فغرني بما أهوى وأسعده على ذلك القضاء فتجاوزت بما جرى علي من ذلك بعد حدودك وخالفت بعد أوامرك فلك الحمد علي في جميع ذلك ولا حجة لي فيما جرى علي فيه قضاءك وألزمني حكمك وبلاءك وقد أتيتك يا إلهي بعد تقصيري وإسرافي على نفسي مؤتذرا نادما منكسرا مستقيلا مستغفرا منيبا مقرا مدعنا معترفا لا أجد مفرا مما كان مني ولا مفزعا نتوجه إليه في أمري غير قبولك عذري وإدخالك إياي سعة من رحمتك اللهم فاقبل عذري ورحم شدة ضري وفكني من شدي وثاقي يا رب ارحم ضعف بدني ورقة جلدي ودقة عظمي يا من بدأ خلقي وذكري وتربيتي وبري وتغذيتي هبني لابتداء كرمك وسالف برك بي يا إلهي وسيدي وربي أتراك معذبي بنارك بعد توحيدك وبعد من طوى عليه قلبي من معرفتك ولهج به لساني من ذكرك واعتقده ضميري من حبك وبعد صدق اعترافي ودعائي خاضعا لربوبيتك هيهات أنت أكرم من أن تضيع من ربيت أو تعبد من أدنيت أو تشرد من آويت أو تسلم إلى البلاء من كفيته ورحمت وليت شعري يا سيدي وإلهي ومولاي أتسلط النار على وجوه خرت لعظمتك ساجدا وعلى ألسن نطقت بتوحيدك الصادقة وبشكرك مادحا، وعلى قلوب اعترفت بإلهيتك محققا، وعلى ضمائر حوت من العلم بك حتى صارت خاشعة، وعلى جوارح سعت إلى أوطان تعبدك طاعية، وأشارت باستغفارك مضعنا. ما هكذا الظن بك، ولا أخبرنا بفضلك عنك يا كريم. يا ربي وأنت تعلم ضعفي، عن قليل من بلاء الدنيا وعقوباتها وما يجري فيها من المكاره على أهلها، على أن ذلك بلاء ومكروه، قليل مكثوب، يسير بقاؤه، قصير مدته، فكيف احتمالي لبلاء الآخرة وجليل وقوع المكاره فيها، وهو بلاء تطول مدته ويدوم مقامه ولا يخفف عن أهله، لأنه لا يكون إلا عن غضبك وانتقامك وسخطك، وهذا ما لا تقوم له السماوات والأرض. يا سيدي فكيف لي وأنا عبدك الضعيف الذليل، الحقير المسكين المستكين؟ يا إلهي وربي وسيدي ومولاي، لأي الأمور إليك أشكو، ولما منها أضج وأبكي، لأليم العذاب وشدتي، أم لطول البلاء ومدتي؟ فلئن صيرتني للعقوبات مع أعدائك، وجمعت بيني وبين أهل بلائك، وفرقت بيني وبين أحبائك وأوليائك، فهبني يا إلهي وسيدي ومولاي وربي، صبرت على عذابك فكيف أصبر على فراقك؟ وهبني صبرت على حر نارك فكيف أصبر عن النظر إلى كرامتك؟ أم كيف أسكن في النار ورجائي عفوك؟ فبعزتك يا سيدي ومولاي أقسم صادقا، لئن تركتني ناطقا لأضجن إليك بين أهلها ضجيج الآملين، ولأصرخن إليك صراخ المستصرخين، ولأبكين عليك بكاء الفاقدين، ولأناديك أين كنت يا ولي المؤمنين. يا غاية آمال العارفين، يا غياث المستغيثين، يا حبيب قلوب الصادقين، ويا إله العالمين. أفتراك سبحانك يا إلهي وبحمدك تسمع فيها صوت عبد مسلم سجن فيها بمخالفته، وضاقت طعم عذابها بمعصيته، وحبس بين أطباقها بجرمه وجريرته، وهو يضج إليك ضجيج مؤمل لرحمتك، ويناديك بلسان أهل توحيدك، ويتوسل إليك بربوبيتك. يا مولاي فكيف يبقى في العذاب وهو يرجو ما سلف من حلمك؟ أم كيف تؤلمه النار وهو يأمل فضلك ورحمتك؟ أم كيف يحرقه لهيبها وأنت تسمع صوته وترى مكانه؟ أم كيف يشتمل عليه زفيرها وأنت تعلم صدقه؟ أم كيف يتقلقل بين أطباقها وأنت تعلم صدقه؟ أم كيف تزجره زبانيتها وهو يناديك يا ربه؟ أم كيف يرجو فضلك في عتقه منها فتتركه فيها؟ هيهات، ما ذلك الظن بك، ولا المعروف من فضلك، ولا مشبه لما عملت به الموحدين من برك وإحسانك. فباليقين أقطع لولا ما حكمت به من تعذيب جاحديك وقضيت به من إخلاد معانديك، لجعلت النار كلها بردا وسلاما، وما كان لأحد فيها مقرا ولا مقاما. لكنك تقدست أسماؤك، أقسمت أن تملأها من الكافرين من الجنة والناس أجمعين، وأن تخلد فيها المعاندين، وأن تجل ثناؤك قلت مبتدئا، وتطولت بالإنعام متكرما. أفمن كان مؤمنا كمن كان فاسقا لا يستوون؟ إلهي وسيدي، فأسألك بالقدرة التي قدرتها وبالقضية التي حتمتها وحكمتها وغلبت من عليه أجريتها، أن تهب لي في هذه الليلة وفي هذه الساعة كل جرم أجرمته وكل ذنب أذنبته وكل قبيح أسررته وكل جهل عملته، كتمته أو أعلنته، أخفيته أو أظهرته، وكل سيئة أمرت بإثباتها الكرام الكاتبين الذين وكلتهم بحفظ ما يكون مني، وجعلتهم شهودا علي مع جوارحي، وكنت أنت الرقيب علي من ورائهم والشاهد لما خفي عنهم، وبرحمتك أخفيت وبفضلك سترت، وأن توفر حظي من كل خير أنزلت أو إحسان فضلت أو بر نشرت أو رزق بسطت أو ذنب تغفره أو خطأ تستر. يا ربي يا ربي يا رب، يا ربي يا ربي يا رب. يا إلهي وسيدي ومولاي ومالك رقي، يا من بيده ناصيتي، يا عليما بضري ومسكنتي، يا خبيرا بفقري وفاقتي. يا ربي يا ربي يا رب، يا ربي يا ربي يا رب. أسألك بحقك وقدسك وعظم صفاتك وأسمائك أن تجعل أوقاتي من الليل والنهار بذكرك معمورة وبخدمتك موصولة وأعمالي عندك مقبولة، حتى تكون أعمالي وأورادي كلها وردا واحدا، وحالي في خدمتك سرمدا. يا سيدي يا من عليه معولي، يا من إليه شكوت أحوالي. يا ربي يا ربي يا رب، يا ربي يا ربي يا رب، قوي على خدمتك جوارحي، واشدد على العزيمة جوانحي، وهب لي الجد في خشيتك، والدوام في الاتصال بخدمتك، حتى أسرح إليك في ميادين السابقين، وأسرع إليك في البارزين، واشتاق إلى قربك في المشتاقين، وأدنو منك دنو المخلصين، وأخافك مخافة الموقنين، واجتمع في جوارك مع المؤمنين. اللهم ومن أرادني بسوء فأرد، ومن كادني فكد، واجعلني من أحسن عبيدك نصيبا عندك، وأقربهم منزلة منك، وخصهم زلفة لديك، فإنه لا ينال ذلك إلا بفضلك، وجد لي بجودك، وعطف علي بمجدك، واحفظني برحمتك، واجعل لساني بذكرك لهجا، وقلبي بحبك متيما، ومن علي بحسن إجابتك، وأقلني عثرتي، واغفر زلتي، فإنك قضيت على عبادك بعبادتك، وأمرتهم بدعائك، وضمنت لهم الإجابة، فإليك يا ربي نصبت وجهي، وإليك يا ربي مددت يدي، فبعزتك استجب لي دعائي، وبلغني منايا، ولا تقطع من فضلك رجائي، واكفني شر الجن والإنس من أعدائي. يا سريع الرضا، اغفر لمن لا يملك إلا الدعاء، فإنك فعال لما تشاء. يا من اسمه دواء، وذكره شفاء، وطاعته غنى، ارحم من رأس ماله الرجاء، وسلاحه البكاء. يا سابغ النعم، يا دافع النقام، يا نور المستوحشين في الظلام، يا عالما لا يعلم، صل على محمد وآل محمد، وافعل بي ما أنت أهله، وصلى الله على رسوله والأئمة الميامين من آله وسلم تسليما كثيرا. الفاتحة.
محمد وآل محمد صلوات. قتلِ شبیر ہوئے چھن گئی زینب کی رضا, لٹ گئے آلِ ابا, آج اٹھارہ بنی فاطمہ کا خون بہا, لٹ گئے آلِ ابا. نہر پر باز ہوئے سکائے حرم کاٹ گئے, دکھ بڑے نانا سہے, دکھ بڑے نانا سہے, بازوئے سبتے نبی شیر دلاور نہ رہا, لٹ گئے آلِ ابا. سر کھولے اونٹوں پہ سیدانیا سب ساتھ گئی, راہی شام ہوئی, راہی شام ہوئی, کوئی پرسانو مددگار نہ ان کا ہے رہا, لٹ گئے آلِ ابا. داغ لے کر میں بہتر کا سوئے شام گئی, تھی عجب در بدری, تھی عجب در بدری, بیٹیا بیڑیا پینے ہوئے آہ بید بیمار پڑا, لٹ گئے آلِ ابا. لاش اصغر کو لیے دیوڑی پہ بحالِ تبا, شاہ نے دیے صدا, شاہ نے دیے صدا, نن معصوم کی گردن پہ لگا تیر جفا, لٹ گئے آلِ ابا. لٹ گئی حضرت زینب کی کمائی رن میں, گل ہوا آدھا میں, گل ہوا آدھا میں, داغ سیدانیوں کو اکبر नौशाद का मिला लुट गए आले आबा मोहम्मद वाले मोहम्मद सलावत
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Before we begin, let's recite Surah Fatiha. Ask Allah to give the thawab to all of the marhumin from our families, our communities, our friends, the ulama, the shuhada, and especially Sheikh Ali Arastu Marhum, who was with your community 3 years ago in Muharram, for his thawab as well. Let's recite Surah Mubarakatul Fatiha, please. Bismillah. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وسيد المرسلين وشفيع المذنبين سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد والصلاة والسلام على أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين المنتجبين لا سيما مولانا وسيدي صاحب الأسر والزمان روحي وأرواح العالمين له الفداء وأجل الله تعالى فرجه الشريف ولانة دائمة على أعدائهم ومنكر فضائلهم إلى الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين أما بعد رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. For the hastening of the advent of our 12th Imam, Imam Al-Hujjah, one salawat upon Muhammad and the family of Muhammad. First off, I want to begin by expressing my thanks to everybody for being with us for these last few nights, and also to the Executive Committee for inviting me to be with you for this Muharram. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He gives us every opportunity to avail of the message of Karbala and the message of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, and that we are able to take lessons from every step in the movement of Imam Hussein and apply his lessons into our day-to-day life. Ultimately, over the last 11 nights that we were together looking at the message of Karbala and the tragic events of what happened to Abu Abdullah alayhi salam and his family and friends and companions, which as we know culminated with the day of Ashura yesterday, that there are many lessons that hopefully we have derived, not only from this session, but the many, many years I'm sure we'll be attending majalis in commemoration of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And one of the things which hopefully we can take away with us is what we mentioned on the very first night, which was why the revolution of Sayyid al-Shuhada actually began. And he made it clear when he addressed his half-brother Muhammad al-Hanafiya, where he told him that his revolution was not to create mischief or corruption, it wasn't to become a king or a leader, but rather that he was looking for what he referred to as islah in the ummah, when he was looking for reformation within the Muslim community. We know that Islam as a religion, what Rasulullah brought 14 centuries ago, is a perfect religion. There is no problem with Islam. Islam is a perfect way of life, but unfortunately, Muslims take and choose from the religion what they want. And when you look at what happened and why Imam Hussein made the stand that he did, it was merely because of that one reason. That was the main reason. Obviously, there are many offshoots of what was happening. But the main reason for his movement was to bring about that rectification within the ummah, within the nation of his grandfather Rasulullah. He saw how people had become completely far away from the religion, how they had diverted completely from the religion of Islam. And if you study the Islam of that time, that which was promoted and propagated by Bani Umayyah, the Abbas, the Umayyad dynasty, and all of those who came after them. It was only snippets of Islam. It was certain aspects of the religion. So yes, they prayed. Maybe they fasted. Maybe they went for Hajj. But say the Shuhada was wanting to show us that that is not the end-all and be-all of religion. His movement was for something much greater than that. Because, and I'm sure we've all heard of these stories where the warriors, those who were fighting against say the Shuhada, some of these men were people who had memorized the Quran. They were avid in reciting Namaz al-Shab in the Salatul Layl. So they knew all of the religious aspects. They knew praying, they knew fasting, they memorized the Quran. But obviously something else was lacking within their psyche. Something was deficient in their Islam, in their understanding of Islam. That say the Shuhada had to make this revolution and make this stand and to give the supreme sacrifice of the life of himself, his family who accompanied him, and those small number of companions that gave everything that they had on the day of Ashura to preserve a true vision of Islam, a true picture of what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam had brought to humanity. In fact, even in that initial stage when he was in Medina, before the movement began, you recall that when he was ordered to pledge his allegiance to Yazid and to his corrupt government, he made that statement where he said, one person like me, an individual like me, would never pay allegiance to one like Yazid. He showed us, not only for the year 61, but even till today, and until the time of the Zuhur of our Imam, the 12th Imam, that it is not about personalities. It was never about Imam Hussein alayhi salam against Yazid as individuals. It could have been anybody in those two positions. And we saw that from the beginning of time, whether it be the prophets that Allah mentions in the Quran, whether it be Ibrahim, Musa, Isa, they all had to deal with the Yazid of their own era. Whether it be Rasulullah, who when he comes, he could have easily given in to the requirements and the requests of the polytheistic Arabs to worship all of their gods and also worship Allah. But he showed us that there was a red line when it came to certain principles. And when it came to religious injunctions, there could not be a compromise. We never saw Rasulullah compromise with the mushrikeen of the Quraysh. He didn't agree to their demands that you worship our gods and we'll worship your gods. And obviously because of that, he was removed from Mecca. He was first exiled within outside of Mecca, as we know. Then eventually he had to leave and go to Medina. But eventually he showed us that truth and what is right will always be victorious over falsehood, over injustice, over acts of tyranny. And this also is clear in the message of Sayyidul Shuhada alayhi salam. We might not look like it today. Reflecting on Karbala after 1300 years, sometimes people look at it and they say, well, where is the victory? 800 people or so are killed in Karbala. Yazid's forces, theoretically, from the outside view, they win the battle. So where is the victory? But obviously the victory is not only counted in terms of the, you know, being defeated on the battlefield. There are obviously much more greater depths to understanding victory. And obviously when we look at it at one perspective today, the fact that we have a pure Islam as taught to us by the Prophet and his family, the fact that for this many years we have continued to flourish, the fact that the name of Sayyid al-Shuhada and his mission is propagated around the world. This is one indication, not the only one, but it's one indication that what he stood for so many years ago is the proof of his victory, and that him being remembered and people speaking about him and remembering him shows us that yes, victory might not have been achieved on the battlefield in terms of a win in the war, but that he was able to win over the hearts and the minds of the people. And that even until today, again, that legacy also continues forward. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. And obviously even in our times, we see many efforts around the world to undermine Islam, to paint Islam in the light of which it is not. Many times it comes from outside of our community, from outside of the Muslim community. And we see this in the media day in and day out. That the media, As the late Malcolm X used to say, that the media is a very manipulative tool. He used to say that the media can make you hate somebody one day and love somebody, love that same person the next. They can make the oppressor to seem as the oppressed and the oppressed to seem as the oppressor. And he mentioned in one of his statements that the reason that media can do that is because they have such a firm grip on the minds of the people. And we see this today when we look at what's happening around the world. When we see how many countries have been attacked innocently, like in Yemen. And the media shows it to be something that obviously that it is not. And so the media has this ability. And as believers, obviously, we have to be aware. Just as when we look at the event of Karbala, if we were to look at it from a purely logistical point of view, we would obviously say, well, Imam Hussein and his army, they lost the battle. But just as we don't understand the tragedy of Karbala in that way, similarly, when we look at the world around us, we have to look at it through the eyes of Sayyid al-Shuhada, realizing his mission, realizing what he stood for, the values, the morals, the principles that he stood for on the day of Ashura, and then look at worldly events with that same lens. And then we'll be able to realize who the oppressed people are and who is doing the oppression. And sure, we won't be able to take a stand like Sayyid al-Shuhada did. You know, not many of us, maybe none of us have that ability. And maybe that won't be required from us today. But as we know in the hadith, we're told that when you see oppression happening, speak out against it. If you can't speak out, write about it, talk about it to amongst people. If you can't do that, then at least have an aversion in your heart to what you're seeing. And that, as we're told in the hadith, is the minimal level of iman that we can have. Is when we see things which are happening in the world around us that we don't agree with, that go against our religious teachings, our sense and system of morals and values, that we don't condone it, that we don't say, well, we live in this society, so we have to accept it. No, we have to condemn it if we can vocally, with reasons and smarts. And if we can't, then at least we have some aversion in our heart for what we see, and that will be at least the minimal that we can do to preserve that legacy, at least within our hearts, if not within our families and our communities and our societies. And obviously that is a difficult task, to be able to look around at the world and what's happening and try to speak out or try to even think in a different way than the way the media would want us to understand all of these events. And that's why over these last 10 or so nights, we introduced this topic of the dua of our 12th Imam. Because ultimately, the only way we can actually realize the world that we live in and hopefully try to bring about a change is by changing ourselves. Right? Allah says in the Quran, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيْرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيْرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. That Allah will never change the condition of a people. Allah will never change a society until the people bring about that change within themselves. So when we want to have change, it comes from within. You know, we can't be living in a state of utopia, this perfect ideal world, until we ourselves become perfect or as close to perfect as we can get as human beings. And so over these last nights, we tried to delve into many of the points of the supplication of our 12th Imam. Things that would impact us directly and obviously our community on a whole. So we looked at the very first night about the topic of obedience, of ibad, of ta'at of Allah, of obeying Allah. And I just want to summarize the last few nights just in one or two sentences. And if you recall, when we looked at obedience, we mentioned the fact that all of these acts that we do are ultimately for obeying Allah. They're not because my father or mother have told me to do something. They're not because I learned in Sunday school that I have to do this and that, or I'm going to be thrown into the fire of hell. Ultimately, we have to realize that we're Muslims and we have to understand why we're at this level. We have to submit to Allah using our intellect, using our understanding of who Allah is, and realize that these obligations we have are not there to hinder us in life, but they're there to actually make us move forward. And so obedience comes at many different levels. We mentioned that sometimes we know the rationale behind why we worship Allah. But many times Allah leaves it, there's so much ambiguity. Allah doesn't tell us a lot of the things why we do it. So yes, Allah tells us, for example, Keep away from intoxicants. Alcohol, drugs are forbidden. Gambling, lotteries, all these things are haram, they're forbidden. Allah tells us in the Quran that there's a benefit in them. Allah says in alcohol there's a benefit. In gambling there's a benefit. And who can doubt that? You could buy a $2 lotto ticket and win $35 million jackpot. Who can doubt the benefit in that? But Allah then says that in them is a benefit and a harm, and the harm is much greater than the benefit. And you just need to study the effects of alcohol and drug abuse and drug usage on the mind and the body to see that, yeah, the benefits are there, but the harm is much greater to the individual and society, as well as gambling. There are benefits, but you read at what people, what happens when you get into this habit of spending and gambling, what people have actually gambled away, not just their money, but their entire lives, and even family members, they've gambled away. So we have to worship Allah, even if we don't know why we have to do something. Let's put it in that category, as we mentioned, of things that Allah has told us to do. We don't know why, but there has to be a benefit that is not yet measured by science, that you can't quantify, that you can't pinpoint and put a finger on why it's there within our religion. We also talked about the importance of knowledge, about becoming professionals in our own areas of study, whether they be the secular worldly studies that we obviously all engage in, or more importantly religious studies, that as the Quran told us, that each from each community, a group of men, a group of women have to go forth to go and understand Islam, to gain the requisite knowledge, to come back and warn their community, so that the community who are busy working full-time jobs, who don't have time to go and study religion full-time, that those scholars, the men and women, can come back and educate us. But if we have the opportunity to leave and to go and study Islamic studies, then obviously that would be the best thing that we can do for ourselves and obviously for our community, to help them and guide them to remain on the path of Muhammad and Ali Muhammad alayhim wassalatu wassalam. We also talked about the importance of you are what you eat, about ensuring that our food that we consume is both halal, permissible from the jurisprudential point of view, and also what we refer to as tayyib, as being pure, wholesome food. And you'll recall the seminar we had in the gym that night, hosted by the youth. And so that also becomes an important concept and an important practice to instill within our lives. That just because a restaurant flashes a halal neon sign, that doesn't necessarily mean that you're just able to go and eat. There is some level of due diligence that we have to do before we go and eat. And obviously all of those things that we consume, as we talked about very briefly, have an impact on our soul. If they have an impact on our soul, they can impact our worship, our ibadat. And obviously that connects all the way back to Allah and our connection to Allah. We also looked at the importance of the two organs, the input devices for ourselves, our eyes and our ears, that we keep our eyes away from the impermissible. And there are many examples that we talked about. We also keep our hearing away from the impermissible, whether it be people talking about other believers in the community, you know, there's the people who make up stories about people, or even when you see something, the backbiting that happens sometimes, that we have to be aware of that. We also talked about the issue about the impermissible music, that is one of the ways that Satan actually works to deceive us, and he himself promised Allah in the Quran that one of his tools would be the haram forms of music, that he would use that to penetrate the soul of the human being. And so we have to ensure that those two input devices are used in the ways that Allah has meant for us to use them, because as the hadith tell us, that those are the ways that our heart can be transformed, our spiritual heart can be transformed by what we hear and what we see. We also mentioned three groups of individuals which play a very important role in our community and in our society. We talked about our respected seniors, how they have to have obviously their own level of respect, but also that we as a community have to respect them, ensure that they don't have any worries or fears of what will happen to them when they get older, if they don't have family and friends to take care of them, that we have a community that's ready and able and willing to assist them and make their transitions through the different stages of life easy and without difficulty. We also talked about the youth and the role of the youth in a community, and how we have, alhamdulillah, so many examples in many of our communities, including here, of the youth and the potential that they have when they're empowered to do something, that they can actually change the course of civilization, really, to an extent. And so also the youth, as we talked about, have to be empowered to be able to be agents of change within their communities and eventually within the society. And we also spoke about the third group, which was the women, and how they obviously play a very important role within the community building. And that the 12th Imam expects them to carry a certain burden on their shoulders, that they have certain traits and requirements that they also have to meet to maintain a level of balance within our Muslim societies. And last but not least, before we end for tonight, we also looked upon the two groups who really put a lot of these things in motion. One was the rich people, the ones who Allah has blessed with affluence. They have been given much blessings by Allah. And as the dua mentioned, that the 12th Imam asks for those who have been blessed by Allah with excess, that Allah gives them humility and humbleness to be, you know, have that humility with society. And also that Allah gives them open-handedness, that when a project comes up, and if they can fund it, or if they can be a part of the funding, that as the Imam says, that they have that ability to open up their hearts and their pocketbooks and to give in the ways of the causes of Islam. And then also we talked about the last group in this series, at least, because there's still a lot of the dua to cover, but inshallah maybe another day we'll be able to cover that. But we looked at the poor people of the society and how they have responsibilities of being patient in their times of difficulty, of being content with what they have. Obviously being, and when we mention that patience and content doesn't mean that they just give up and they do nothing. No, they deal with the situation at hand, but they work and they strive and struggle, as all of us have to strive and struggle. As even Allah mentions in the Quran, Allah says, Ya ayyuhal insan, innaka kadihun ila rabbika kadhan famulaqi. O humanity, indeed all of you are struggling on towards your Lord, painfully struggling on, and we will all meet Him. And so Allah reminds us that we all have to go back to Allah, and that our life in this world is one of struggle. It is one of putting up with difficulties. It is one with dealing with the challenges that sometimes Allah hands out to us. But as Allah tells us, if you have patience, in tasbiru wa tattaqu, if you have patience and you have the taqwa, He says, for that is azmul umur, that is the best of ways to tread. That is the best of ways to deal with difficulties and challenges in our lives, is to have the patience to deal with the difficulty, and also to have the taqwa, have that realization that Allah is ever witness, and Allah is watching all of our actions. And when we talk about patience, and we talk about taqwa, that perseverance and realizing that Allah is ever present in our lives, the greatest example that we have, obviously, of patience within Islamic history is that of Abu Abdullah alayhi salam. It's that of the family of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. It's of the ladies of Karbala, peace be upon all of them, and the tragedies that they went through after the event of Karbala. This evening is what we call the Ziyarat Majlis. Why do we call it the Ziyarat Majlis? What is the meaning of this term? You know, ziyarat is an act that all of us do. Inshallah, we've all had the tawfiq to go to ziyarat, whether it be to Sham, to Bibi Zainab's haram, whether it be to Iraq, to the Imams of Ahlul Bayt, whether it be to Iran, to Imam Radha alayhi salam and his sister. When we go for ziyarat, we're visiting somebody, aren't we? We're going to pay our respects to Imam Radha alayhi salam, to Imam Hussein, to Imam Al-Kadhim, to Imam Jawad, to Imam Al-Hadi. We go and pay our respects to them. We go to the dhari where they're buried. We make dua to Allah. We greet these great personalities. We make the ziyarat of these individuals. When we call this night the night of the ziyarat majlis, what we're actually remembering is that day, the night and that day when the Ahlul Bayt alayhum as-salam paid that last ziyarat to Abu Abdullah alayhi salam. Because yes, they had the honor of being his zawar while he was alive. They could go to his house in Medina and make a ziyarah to Abu Abdullah. They could knock at the door and say salam to Imam Hussein while he was alive in the flesh. When he was in Karbala, the Ahlul Bayt alayhum as-salam could easily walk to the tent of Abu Abdullah. They could make the ziyarat of Imam Hussein by walking into his tent and greeting him. But as we know that on the 10th of Muharram, after Abu Abdullah alayhi salam, after his body had been lying on the plains of Karbala, after the head had been severed from the body of Abu Abdullah, after the horses of Umar ibn Sa'd Mal'un had crushed the body of Abu Abdullah, so much so that every bone in his body had been crushed to nothing, after all of these atrocities had happened one after the other, eventually on the day of the 11th of the month of Muharram, the day after the event of Ashura, we know that on that day Umar ibn Sa'd the Mal'un, that he did many things against the Ahlul Bayt. Not only was it reserved to burning down the tents, not only was it ripping the earrings from young Sakina, not only was it to do all of those atrocities against the women and children on the day of Ashura, but we know that eventually that the heads were all severed from the bodies. We know that Khuli took the head of Imam Hussein. He was told by Umar ibn Sa'd to take the head to Kufa, to Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad, and eventually it would make its way to Sham. We know that the heads of the other shuhada were taken off of their bodies. They were gathered and taken towards Yazid and towards Damascus. But brothers and sisters, as we say that the Ziyarat Majlis, this was that time when Lady Zainab alayhi salam, when Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam, when all the women and children had to go through all of the difficulties that the event of after Ashura would bring to them. We're told in the books of Maqtal that as the caravan was getting ready to be taken towards Kufa from Karbala, as they're getting ready to take that walk all the way from Karbala, from the plains of Karbala towards Kufa, and brothers and sisters, this is a walk that many people have taken. When you walk from Najaf to Karbala, as those who had walked from Najaf to Karbala know the distance, but at least when you walked in from Najaf to Karbala for Arba'een, you know that you'll get food and water on that journey. You know that people will come and massage your feet. They'll give you a place to rest. They'll give you a place to stay. You'll be able to take a break in the middle of the night and have a bit of comfort. We can only imagine that this 80-kilometer walk for Lady Zainab, who had seen so much on the day of Ashura, for the young children to have to go on the back of a camel on a saddleless camel. We can only imagine Zainul Abidin alayhi salam being forced to walk the distance from Karbala to Kufa. And brothers and sisters, this wasn't a normal walk. The historians mention that Imam Zainul Abidin's hands and arms were covered in chains. They tell us that he had a collar around his neck, an iron collar around his neck. We can only imagine in 40-degree weather in Karbala what it would be like to have an iron collar around the neck. Historians go even one step further. They say that around the collar of Imam Zainul Abidin, around his neck, that there were spikes in the collar. But the spikes didn't poke outwards, they were poking inwards into the neck of Imam Zainul Abidin. And we can only imagine what kind of pain that Imam was feeling as they walked all the way from Karbala to Kufa. As they go past the bodies to pay their last respects for this last ziyarat, as they begin to walk through the bloodstains of Karbala, they begin to pass near the body of Abu Abdullah. We're told that Lady Zainab alayhi salam is on the camel. As she looks down, she sees the broken body of Abu Abdullah. She sees the headless body of Imam Hussein lying on the plains. All of a sudden, at that point in time, Imam Zainul Abidin, as he is walking, he looks down and he is forced to look at the body of his father. Imam Zainul Abidin is looking at the lifeless body of his father and the desecration that they have done over to his father. The caravan continues to walk. They continue to walk from the day of the 11th. Historians say that it takes over one day, over 24 hours for them to eventually end up in the city of Kufa. Once they arrive in the city of Kufa, the whole city has been decorated. They have made the whole city beautiful, as the Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad has told the people of Kufa, that these were the Khawarij, these were the people who had rebelled against the leader of the time. As they began to enter into the city of Kufa, people began to look at the ladies who are on the camels. They began to look at Zainul Abidin. They began to look at the heads that are mounted on the spears. They realized that these are not rebels, but this is a family of the Prophet. The same Lady Zainab alayhi salam, who's today coming in as a captive in Kufa, she was the same Zainab who used to give daras of tafsir to the women of the city of Kufa. The same Zainul Abidin alayhi salam, his father Amir al-Mu'mineen, his grandfather Amir al-Mu'mineen, was the same one who led the government from the city of Kufa. Eventually, brothers and sisters, it will end with this. As the caravan begins to get closer and closer to the palace of Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad, the people realize that this is the family of Rasulullah, that these are not rebels, that these are actually the family of the Messenger of Allah. they began to offer their condolences. They began to try to offer them some covering from the heat and the tragedies of that day. But eventually, when they make their way to Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad, that there is no protection from them, that there is no safety and security, and that this begins the first stage in their journey towards the cursed Yazid, and eventually back to Karbala, and eventually back home to Medina, to be reunited again with their loved ones after so much time of suffering the difficulties and tragedies of the day of Ashura. وَسَيَعْلَمُ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا أَيَّ مُنْقَلِبٍ يَنْقَلِبُونَ إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. Ya Allah, we ask you bihaqih Muhammad wa Ali wa Fatima wa Hassan wa Hussein and the nine imams from the progeny of Hussein that you accept this act of worship from us over these nights of Muharram. Ya Allah, we ask you to give us the shafaat of Imam Hussein on the Day of Judgment. Ya Allah, we ask you to give us the ziyarat of Aba Abdullah and his family in this world. Ya Allah, we ask you to protect all the zawar who have gone for the ziyarat of Aba Abdullah. Ya Allah, we ask you for the protection of all of those zawar who will be going for Arba'een, that you protect all of those from all of the fitna and all of the difficulties that our community is facing in Iraq. Ya Allah, we ask you to give us an opportunity to live once again next year to be able to participate and commemorate the tragic event of Karbala. And Ya Allah, we ask you that if you take us from this world before that time, that you allow us to have the pleasure of meeting Aba Abdullah alayhi salam, and that we can be close to Muhammad and Ali Muhammad in this world and in the world to come. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka anta as-sami'ul 'alim. Before we conclude with the matam, let us once again remember our marhumin, especially marhum Sheikh Ali Arastu, who was with his community 3 years ago in the month of Muharram. Let us remember him and all of the marhumin from our families with Suratul Mubarakatul Fatiha, with one loud salawat upon Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Bismillah.
کو قدیبان کے چلی ہے شام کو قدیبان کے چلی ہے شام کو قدیبان کے چلی ہے پیار نبی کی پیاری نواسی شام کو قدیبان کے چلی ہے صبر کی ملکہ زہرا کی پیاری شام کو قدیبان کے چلی ہے پیار نبی کی پیاری نواسی شام کو قدیبان کے چلی ہے پیار نبی کی پیاری نواسی شام کو قدیبان کے چلی ہے دیکھ رہی ہے کوئی تو آئے شان پکڑ کر کاش بتائے دیکھ رہی ہے کوئی تو آئے شان پکڑ کر کاش بتائے نہ ہے سواری نہ ہے اماری شام کو قدیبان کے چلی ہے پیارے نبی کی پیاری نواسی شام کو قدیبان کے چلی ہے پیارے نبی کی
پیاری نواسی
شام کو قدیبان کے چلی ہے بائے بھتیجے بانج بیٹے سات وطن سے آئی تھی لے کر بھائی بھتیجے بانج بیٹے سات وطن سے آئی تھی لے کر ہائے مقدر آج اکیلی شام کو قیدی بن کے چلی ہے پیار نبی کی پیاری نواسی شام کو قیدی بن کے چلی ہے پیار نبی کی پیاری نواسی شام کو قیدی بن کے چلی ہے بیٹوں کو صدقہ بائے پکر کے جس نے کیے تھے شکر کے سجدے بیٹوں کو صدقہ بائے پکر کے جس نے کیے تھے شکر کے سجدے چور کی تنہا لاش کو اس کی شام کو قیدی بن کے چلی ہے پیار
نبی کی
پیاری نواسی شام کو قیدی بن کے چلی ہے
پیار نبی کی
پیاری نواسی شام کو قیدی بن کے چلی ہے جس کی کنیزیں نکلنا باہر بلوے میں لائے اس کو ستمگر جس کی کنیزیں نکلنا باہر بلوے میں لائے
اس کو ستمگر
ہائے غربت بنت علی کی شام کو قیدی بن کے چلی ہے
پیار نبی کی پیاری نواسی شام کو قیدی بن کے چلی ہے
یا حسین
یا حسین یا حسین یا حسین یا حسین یا حسین یا حسین یا حسین یا حسین یا حسین یا حسین یا حسین یا حسین یا حسین یا حسین یا حسین یا
حسین
یا حسین
یا حسین
یا حسین
یا حسین
یا حسین
یا حسین
یا حسین
یا حسین
شام چلی میں شام چلی شام چلی میں شام چلی شام چلی میں شام چلی پردیس میں گھر لٹوا کے پر تیرا دین بچا کے پردیس میں گھر لٹوا کے پر تیرا دین بچا کے میں شام چلی نانا شام چلی میں شام چلی
شام چلی میں شام
چلی بے گور کفن بھائی ہے میرا اسباب لٹا ہے گھر بھی جلا بے گور کفن بھائی ہے میرا اسباب لٹا ہے گھر بھی جلا سو تیر غموں کا کھا کے آنکھوں سے خون بہا کے میں شام چلی نانا شام چلی میں شام چلی
شام چلی
چلی بھائی کا گلا کٹتے دیکھا قاسم کا بدن پامال ہوا بھائی کا گلا کٹتے دیکھا کاسے کا بدن پامال ہوا اکبر کا درد اٹھا کے ہاتھوں میرا سن بندھوا کے میں شام چلی نانا شام چلی میں شام چلی غازی کے بعد میں غازی ہوں میں ناد علی دہراتی ہوں غازی کے بعد میں غازی ہوں میں ناد علی دہراتی ہوں خطبوں کی تیغ چلا کے غازی کالم لہرا کے میں شام چلی نانا شام چلی میں شام چلی شام چلی ہائے میں شام چلی یا حسین یا حسین یا حسین یا حسین محمد علی محمد صلی اللہ
will be reciting Ziyarat Warith. زور سيدي ومولاي معتمدي ورجائي ذخري وذخيرتي في آخرتي وأولاي أبا عبد الله الحسين السلام عليك يا وارث آدم صفوة الله السلام عليك يا وارث نوح النبي الله السلام عليك يا وارث إبراهيم خليل الله السلام عليك يا وارث موسى كليم الله السلام عليك يا وارث عيسى روح الله السلام عليك يا وارث محمد حبيب الله صلى الله عليه وآله السلام عليك يا وارث أمير المؤمنين ولي الله السلام عليك يا ابن محمد المصطفى صلى الله عليه وآله السلام عليك يا ابن علي المرتضى السلام عليك يا ابن فاطمة الزهراء السلام عليك يا ابن خديجة الكبرى السلام عليك يا ثار الله وابن ثاره والوتر الموتور أشهد أنك قد أقمت الصلاة وآتيت الزكاة وأمرت بالمعروف ونهيت عن المنكر وأطعت الله ورسوله حتى أتاك اليقين فلعن الله أمة قتلتك ولعن الله أمة ظلمت ولعن الله أمة سمعت بذلك فرضيت به يا مولاي يا أبا عبد الله أشهد أنك كنت نورا في الأصلاب الشامخة والأرحام المطهرة لم تنجسك الجاهلية بأنجاسها ولم تلبسك من مدلهمات ثيابها وأشهد أنك من دعائم الدين وأركان المؤمنين وأشهد أنك الإمام البر التقي الرضي الزكي الهادي المهدي وأشهد أن الأئمة من ولدك كلمة التقوى وأعلام الهدى والعروة الوثقى والحجة على أهل الدنيا. وأشهد الله وملائكته وأنبياءه ورسله أني بكم مؤمن وبإيابكم موقن بشرائع ديني وخواتيم عملي وقلبي لقلبكم سلم وأمري لأمركم متبع. صلوات الله عليكم وعلى أرواحكم وعلى أجسادكم وعلى أجسامكم وعلى شاهدكم وعلى غائبكم وعلى ظاهركم وعلى باطنكم. علي بن الحسين عليه السلام. السلام عليك يا ابن رسول الله، السلام عليك يا ابن نبي الله، السلام عليك يا ابن أمير المؤمنين، السلام عليك يا ابن الحسين الشهيد، السلام عليك أيها الشهيد، السلام عليك أيها المظلوم وابن المظلوم. لعن الله أمة قتلتك، ولعن الله أمة ظلمتك، ولعن الله أمة سمعت بذلك فرضيت به. الشهداء عليهم السلام. السلام عليكم يا أولياء الله وأحباءه، السلام عليكم يا أصفياء الله وأوداءه، السلام عليكم يا أنصار دين الله، السلام عليكم يا أنصار رسول الله، السلام عليكم يا أنصار أمير المؤمنين، السلام عليكم يا أنصار فاطمة سيدة نساء العالمين، السلام عليكم يا أنصار أبي محمد الحسن بن علي الولي الناصح، السلام عليكم يا أنصار أبي عبد الله بأبي أنتم وأمي طبتم وطابت الأرض التي فيها دفنتم وفزتم فوزا عظيما، فيا ليتني كنت معكم فأفوز معكم. العباس عليه السلام. السلام عليك يا أبا الفضل العباس ابن أمير المؤمنين، السلام عليك يا ابن سيد الوصين، السلام عليك يا ابن أول القوم إسلاما وأقدمهم إيمانا وأقومهم بدين الله وأحوطهم على الإسلام. أشهد لقد نصحت لله ولرسوله ولأخيك، فنعم الأخ المواسي، فلعن الله أمة قتلتك، ولعن الله أمة ظلمتك، ولعن الله أمة استحلت منك المحارم وانتهكت حرمة الإسلام. فنعم الصابر المجاهد المحامي الناصر والأخ الدافع عن أخيه المجيب إلى طاعة ربه الراغب فيما زهد فيه غيره من الثواب الجزيل والثناء الجميل. وألحقك الله بدرجة آبائك في جنات النعيم. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. اللهم إني تعرضت لزيارة أوليائك رغبة في ثوابك ورجاء لمغفرتك وجزيل إحسانك، فأسألك أن تصلي على محمد وآله الطاهرين، وأن تجعل رزقي بهم دارا، وعيشي بهم قارا، وزيارتي بهم مقبولة، وحياتي بهم طيبة، وأدرجني إدراج المكرمين، واجعلني ممن ينقلب من زيارة مشاهد أحبائك مفلحا منجحا، قد استوجب غفران الذنوب وستر العيوب وكشف الكروب، إنك أهل التقوى وأهل المغفرة. وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وآله الطاهرين. الفاتحة. Brothers, please be seated. Thank you.
Muhammadin wa Ali Muhammad Salawat. There's a reminder from the Who's Hussein campaign team. They are encouraging all community members to give blood in the name of Imam Hussein. This Muharram, they are hosting a blood drive on Saturday, October the 15th, which is full now, and October 22nd, which is 8 spots left. It is being held at the Canadian Blood Services on Oak Street station, Oak Street location. Please get in touch with Sister Zaida Jafar or Khalil Kaku to reserve your spot. Just a reminder again, there's a death anniversary majlis for Sayyid Muhammad Akbar, Marhuma Nazneen Begum, and Marhum Salim Akbar, which will be held on 20th of October on Thursday here at the Zahra Center. Program on 20th of October will start at 7:30 p.m. at Dwai Kumail, Marsha Majlis Yasin, Matam, and ending with Tabarruk. May I now please invite Brother Abbas, I already know him as Abbas L.A., but I go for Abbas Muhammad just to, on behalf of the executive. Please come on, Abbas.
My elders, brothers and sisters, salam alaikum. On behalf of the fundraising team, I'd like to thank everybody who has contributed to our Muharram Fund. As we all know, we had set a target of $40,000. Alhamdulillah, we were able to collect almost $29,000. Can I have a salawat for that? So we're still short about $11,000. Donation cards are still available at the men's and the ladies' side at the treasure desk. Please come forward and help us reach our goal. You know, anything you guys can contribute, really appreciate it. I also have the list of the Marumins who have contributed to this campaign. So the list is a little bit long, so please bear with me. I have to mention all the Marumins because they truly deserve this. Maruma Raziabai Virji, Amrin Kanani, Iman Kanani, Nurbanu Kanani, Asneen Kanani, Raza Datu, Fatima Datu, Salim Bojani, Marumins in Sayed Zahir family, Marumins in Sayed Raza Waria family, Muhammad Ali Dina, Kasma Ali Dina, Fatma Bay Ali Dina, Nurbanu Kanani, Muhammad Taki Rashid, Fatma Rashid, Rukaya Musa and Musa Nanji family, Amir Ali Mullah, Abdullah Ladak, Sugrabai A. Ladak, Sherbanu Ladak, Askar Kaku, Sayyid Shabish Haider Zaidi, Sardar Fatima Zaidi, Fida Ali Dharamsi Pardan, Muhammad Hussein Inayatullah, Leila Devji, Riaz Ghulam Ali, Zarina Inayatullah, Isa Jafar Ali, Ali Bai Natu, Fidausin Kurjian family, Muhammad Hussein Karmali Nasser, Muhammad Ali Jafar, Sultan H.K. Jafar, Askar Hussein Jafar, Fatma Bai Paryani, Ghulam Muhammad Bajani, Sakina Bai Bajani, Ibrahim Paryani, Fatma Bai Ibrahim Paryani, Marumin in the Bajani family, Marumin in the Masuma Magam Zalil Bash family, Marumins in Manzoor Wani family, Marumins in Muhammad Hag Hassan family, Marumin in Maulidina family, Marumins in Muhammad Reza Karim Kaku family, Marumins in Munawar Ali Akhtar family, Marumins in Mirali Deuji family, Gulshan Bai Ismail, Marhuma Fatma Bai Virji, Marhum Yusuf Ali Rashid, Marhum Sugra Bai Rashid, Muhammad Rashid, Sayyid Zafar Zaidi, Imtiaz Ahmad Rizvi, and Marumins in the family of Virji Rashid Ganji Panjwani family, and all the Marumins and anybody who has contributed to our Muharram Fund. Al-Fatiha. Thank you for your patience.
Thank you, brothers and sisters. Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad salawat.